Welcome to the Laurel Center's Thrive Together podcast, where we discuss domestic and sexual violence in our communities and how we help victims of abuse move beyond surviving to thriving. The Laurel Center's Thrive Together podcast is hosted by Heather Frost and William Brick.
Welcome to this, our first episode of the Laurel Center's Thrive Together podcast. The Laurel Center is a nonprofit organization providing emergency shelter and services to victims and survivors of domestic and sexual violence. We've been serving and empowering women and men in the Northern Shenandoah Valley of Virginia for over 40 years.
On this podcast, we're hoping to continue our organization's mission of empowerment through education by raising awareness and sharing resources, not just from the Laurel Center, but especially those in surrounding area and community.
It takes a wide network of support to help those victims and survivors of violence thrive again, but it is possible together. I'm William Brick.
And I'm Heather Frost. Again, we welcome you to the Laurel Center's Thrive Together podcast. It's April.
It is.
And April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Today we'll be discussing an event that started over half a century ago and has since broadened into an international event. Take Back the Night.
With today's topic, the material we'll be discussing has the potential to be triggering for some. We'll be talking about the impacts of sexual violence, and we want you to prioritize your self-care.
It's important.
Should you need support or are interested in our services, please feel free to use our hotline.
We're here and it's available 24/7, so you can reach us anytime at 540-667-6466.
With us today are Dahlia Ashford and Nicole Sugarman from Shenandoah University. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Yes, hi.
And so Dahlia is an assistant dean of inclusion, diversity, and equity and student leadership. Solid science background, master's in college student personnel, services, and administration, and a career coach and a life coach, consultant, a lot of coaching, I'm sensing.
Yes.
And also with us today is Nicole Sugarman. Nicole is a junior at Shenandoah University pursuing a bachelor's of fine arts and musical theater, also an accomplished student of yoga, a registered teacher of 200 hours, way to go, and the head of peer mentoring at SU's Not Just Women's Center, among many other contributions and talents.
Welcome both of you guys.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Today we're here on, like I said, Shenandoah University's campus, talking about Take Back the Night. Take Back the Night and the movement standing really against sexual violence, violence in all its forms, really started to accelerate in the 1970s, especially Philadelphia, San Francisco, and also internationally. And Dahlia, I know you have done Take Back the Night events before, not with Shenandoah, but elsewhere. So how did this event really solidify into what it is today?
So with Take Back the Night, it's an international event, as well as a nonprofit organization that aims to end sexual, relationship, and domestic violence in all forms. And so here at Shenandoah University, we want to make sure that our students as well as our community members know that sexual violence, assault, anything like that is not tolerated here. And we have different services to support our students, faculty, and staff, but also our community members. And so a lot of the events usually surround marches, rallies, vigils, they're intended, you know, as a protest and direct action against rape, other forms of violence. And so, you know, here at Shenandoah, you know, we want students to understand, as well as community members, do you believe that all people should be free from the threat of sexual violence? That's a yes. Do you believe that women's rights are human rights? That's a yes. So then, you know, we want students, we want our community to join us on April the 18th with the Not Just Women's Center to rise up and speak out against sexual assault and sexual violence.
Excellent.
Nice. With April being Sexual Assault Awareness Month, there's a lot going on to bring awareness about sexual assault and sexual violence. With all that going on, what has the response and experience been with Shenandoah University's hosting Take Back the Night?
Yeah, so the community response is always different, always surprising for us. Sometimes people come to these events dragged by their girlfriend, or it's someone new who's never heard anyone talk about sexual violence in this way. And it's always exciting when we get to hear them express gratitude for what they've learned that night. It's really amazing. Something important for us to continually remember is that we really never get to know how many minds we've changed or how many people we've got to start thinking in a different way about boundaries, about making decisions regarding sexual relationships or any relationships in general. But we do know there's definitely people out there who have been impacted by the work we do.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Not Just Women's Center on SU's campus?
Absolutely. I'd love to. So the Not Just Women's Center at Shenandoah is focused and dedicated to sexual assault prevention and education work. Our main goal is to empower the community of college students with knowledge about consent, boundaries, healthy relationships, healthy sexuality. We cover a lot of topics here. All of this in an attempt to limit instances of sexual assault on our campus, which is a really hefty goal, but we love the work we do. Some of the things we do to help spread this goal and spread this information is we host trivia nights and bingo nights where we kind of get some fun trivia and facts going about sexual assault, about sexual violence, all those different topics. We do interactive things like cookies and consent, where we host cookie decorating events and we talk about consent all the while, and it's really important. A big aspect of our work that we do is we put up tables with educational components, maybe interactive elements, just detailing lots of information about those topics that we find important for students to know. And we put those up in the Student Center, which is where we are right now, which is a place we get lots of student traffic. We make posters and handouts about things that are super important to us. Some resources we also offer in our center are resources for survivors of sexual assault, which comes with our confidential conversations that we offer. Essentially, all of peer mentors who work at the Not Just Women's Center are pretty extensively trained in how to facilitate and handle these compassionate listening conversations with their peers, which we're then also equipped to support them if they choose to go the route of reporting a sexual assault. We can help them and guide them through that process, which can be super emotional and take a lot of different turns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're starting lots of new programs this year and next year, and we're hoping to offer some more healing resources for survivors, but also we want to include allies and people who just generally want to support the work we do here. So we're really excited about all that stuff.
Good. Not to put you on the spot, but yeah. can you give us a sneak peek of anything you guys are planning to start, like, coming up?
Sure. Next year, we want to do some focus on creative healing opportunities, and we're actually looking at partnering with a mental health professional that works in our counseling center to create, in collaboration with the counseling center, a support group for survivors of sexual assault. And something else we do that's super important to the work is we do a red zone campaign. The red zone is that first period of time in college before students are completely comfortable in this new setting. And that time puts students at a lot higher risk for sexual assault. I have unfortunately had a lot of conversations with people during those first few weeks of school that has proved that to be true for me. So we're trying to partner a lot of our red zone ideas and programs that we do to make students aware of that fact and that statistic, to try to also partner that with healing opportunities like that therapy group we're looking at starting. We do survivor support lunches where survivors can get to communicate and find community within each other. So that's some stuff we got coming up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Specifically to take back the night compared to, I mean, we have a lot going on for the month, but what makes this event so impactful and so powerful?
Well, this event is so powerful because we have survivors speak about their experiences and how they have overcome their experience. So for individuals to know that there is a community that offers support brings some comfort to them. We can't take away the pain, but we can offer some comfort. And so Shenandoah University wants students and the community to know that we do not tolerate, you know, violence or harassment of any form. And so students that participate in Not Just Women's Center activities understand what consent means and how to ask for consent. And that's a big component of some of our, of a lot of our programs. And so we have seen students stopping in tracks and remember that consent must be given before any activity, whether it's hugging somebody, shaking a hand, can I shake your hand? You're getting a yes, a plain yes or no answer. And when you see people actively working towards ending sexual violence, others take notice that we do not allow that type of behavior here. So everyone deserves to live free from harm. Human rights are everyone's rights.
Absolutely.
So the statistics around sexual violence and sexual abuse are really formidable, and it sounds like you've already encountered some of that, because we know 1 in 5 women experience completed or attempted rape in their lifetime in the United States. And on top of that, 1 in 3 of those victims are of the age of 11 and 17. So knowing all of that and a lot of the other statistics that we have, do you see like a light bulb moment when people kindly they get this and they understand?
Absolutely. That happens all the time. And it's usually a pretty emotional or exciting moment when we get to get that opportunity to see people finally get it, like how serious and how widespread this is and how important it really is. You mentioned statistics. People are usually very startled when they see statistics. So we do a lot of events with symbolism where we get to use symbolism as an effective tool to make those statistics accessible to students who are just passing by in the courtyard or something. I think the biggest event that gets that aha moment for us is we do a red solo cup display where we place red solo cups on the lawn by the SU sign in the courtyard. And we have one red cup that represents a survivor, an undergraduate student that is a survivor of sexual assault. And we use pretty general statistics for the college community. We also use red and blue cups to signify sex of the student that experienced the sexual assault. And it's a really staggering amount of red solo cups that are sitting on that lawn. And students have to walk by that lawn every day, and especially students who live on campus, which is a majority of freshmen or younger first-year students. So they're kind of forced to face the realities, the harsh realities of sexual violence and specifically sexual assault on college campuses. So that event, also coupled with the statistics that we share, we kind of put posters around the cups for this display. That one usually receives a pretty heavy response. And then we also do, during Sexual Assault Awareness Month, this is coming up soon, we do a clothesline project where we hang up t-shirts that are decorated or written out stories. Survivors will write their stories of their assault or whatever their experience was. Some people will write words of encouragement or experiences they've heard about. It's really pretty general what you can write on these t-shirts. But then also in the courtyard, that super accessible place with a lot of student traffic, we hang up those t-shirts on multiple clotheslines and people, you know, check them out. And it's pretty amazing the response we get. Because when you see it on a t-shirt, something happens inside where you're like, wait, a person is behind this. I think that's the really big importance of symbolism with that event. So that's been my experience of seeing those light bulbs go off.
So Dolly, have you gotten to see any of those same moments too? Because I know you've done these events in the past.
Yes, I have. Some have been quite emotional, because you may, you know, recognize the story, because in my previous positions, I've had to serve as a mandated or mandatory reporter. And so, you know, just hearing some of those stories, they're like, oh, you know, trying to think about like how, you know, what can I do? And so, you know, I have a protocol I have to follow, but just making sure they get beyond that physical support, get some mental support, because it does something to, you know, a person's, you know, to their mind and everything, and get them back to, you know, some sort of normalcy, you know, after something like that happens. And it doesn't just happen to female identifying individuals. It happens to male identifying individuals, you know, more than you think. And so when we were talking earlier, like now a lot of the Take Back the Night events are including men, you know, allies, survivors, as well as bystanders, to really just get the word out. And to make it more impactful, because it's not just one person being impacted by that experience. It's usually about 4 or 5 or even a whole family is impacted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the statistics, especially with men, mm-hmm. you know, experiencing that, I'm glad it's been more inclusive too.
There is a statistic that it's nearly 1/4 of men in the United States have experienced some form of unwanted sexual violence. So I think we all know, as we plan events or talking about events and we have great ideas, we want to have one, they don't just come into reality. So what all have you guys put into planning this event and having this event?
So much has been going into planning this event. It's been really amazing seeing what all the peer mentors have been up to. Currently, we have a whole committee of peer mentors dedicated to just this event alone. which is led by the wonderful and beautiful Natalie McCrowell. She's been doing amazing work brainstorming and really spearheading this work. It's really impressive. We meet frequently to figure out what this Take Back the Night is going to look like. There's several, I think Dahlia touched on, the several different iterations and versions of Take Back the Nights. Some are marches, some are the classic candle night vigils. Some people do biking events and yoga. There's music and poetry. There's like so many different ways that a Take Back the Night can look, so many different looks. And so we've been gathering all the supplies we needed, making playlists, coordinating with people who are going to speak, talking about people who might perform at the event, and just planning what it's going to look like. Yeah.
Awesome.
Can you guys speak a little bit to like some of those events you guys do have lined up for April 18th?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to. So I'm so excited because it's just been such a great collaborative effort. I'm so excited to talk about it. So we're doing a big mix of events. We're kind of going to touch on everything. It's going to be a two-hour event, so we're splitting it up into different parts. The first hour is going to consist of different activities that participants can engage with. We're going to have mask painting, rock painting to make a little consent garden, and we're also going to have ceramic plates that we're going to give people the opportunity to write something on that they wish to let go of. And you can participate in any mix of those activities during that first hour. We're going to have music going, and it's going to be a good time for people to find community with each other. Hopefully, we can mingle some of the college students in different departments with one another in this first hour. And then during the second hour, we're going to shift into that candlelight vigil portion of the event. We have several speakers lined up, and we're really excited about speakers coming from the Laurel Center to share a little bit about the work you guys do, and we're really grateful for that. Dahlia is going to share a little bit about what Take Back the Night means to her and everything. Some peer mentors are going to talk about what Take Back the Night means to them, and some survivors are going to speak out about their stories. Sarah Selick, who was very integral in the creation of the Notched Women's Center years past, is also going to send a message or speak at the event as well. We're super excited about that. And we might be having some other exciting guest speakers that we're still finalizing some stuff with. Yeah, we're very excited.
Good.
That is exciting. And thank you for the kind words.
Yeah.
So as we talked about how your Take Back the Night is going to look and all of the work that you guys are doing and evolving in this movement, how do you see things going forward from this part? Like, how do you see Take Back the Night and the movement for sexual awareness evolving into the future?
Okay. So, you know, where do we go from here? So, you know, we've continued to march forward to the future. And so we will continue our commitment to ending sexual violence for all people of all sexual and gender identities, races, ethnicities, nationalities, religious beliefs, abilities and statuses. It affects everyone. And so we welcome all who, you know, will walk, stand, speak, chant, and rally with us until sexual violence is no more. We want to eradicate it. We want it it doesn't have a place anywhere in the world. And so we that's one of our things with the Not Just Women's Center. We just really want to offer that support and give people the tools to prevent, but also even to not even really think about, like, it shouldn't even be something, you know, something a person thinks about, like committing an act. So we're really, really trying to make sure that we're intentional, and we also have the impact that we desire with this event and all of our programs. Our peer mentors are amazing. And so we want to continue to grow them because they are leaders. And this work just doesn't stop here at Shenandoah. It's all over. So that's where, you know, we hope that the movement about sexual awareness and assault continues on.
I really wish our listeners could see the passion and stuff, yeah, that I'm seeing here in your eyes. And we just so appreciate the work that you're doing, the hard work that you're doing for the cause. And it's going to have a wonderful, positive impact.
Huge thanks to you, Dahlia and Nicole, for taking the time to talk with us, not just about your event, but also the awesome things you guys are doing here on campus. So that's all hugely impactful. For more information about the event, or if you want to host your own event, Take Back the Night's Foundation website, takebackthenight.org. Good place to learn more about events, their history, see additional resources. Dahlia and Nicole, where's the best place for listeners to learn more about your event specifically coming up on April 18th? Or if you want to do a little blurb now and throw that out there just for...
Yeah, sure. We constantly update our social media pages with lots of graphics to promote our events, information on how to get involved, photos from our events and stuff. So you can follow us on Instagram at SU_NJWC. And you can find our Facebook, which is Shenandoah University, Not Just Women's Center. So it should be pretty easy to find. And we often market our events to the broader Winchester community as well. So I definitely recommend staying on social media to be in the know with what's up at the Not Just Women's Center.
Good.
And so for the Not Just Women's Center, other than the social media, can students just come down and come into the room?
Yes.
Is there any other ways they access Not Just Women's Center?
So phone calls, emails. I know through social media, we've been really successful with students reaching out to us, and we have confidential conversations. So sometimes students will utilize our peer mentors for that. But usually they just stop in because they have so much fun in there. Like they're talking, it's so much energy, exuded from the peer mentors that it's like a magnet. So people want to come and they want to be a part of it. And we continuously, I know for myself, I continuously get emails from students that want to be a part of the Not Just Women's Center, whether it's a peer mentor or just to volunteer with some of our activities, because they want to be a part of a positive and forward-thinking group. And so that's what we do at the Not Just Women's Center, and we have some awesome, again, I just can't reiterate, head peer mentors and just all of the peer mentors. I don't want to separate them out, but they will be great leaders. They're creative. They can sing, act, you name it. They're awesome students. And so I wish I was a part of something like this when I was in college. So I just want to put that plug out there. We're accepting. Just come on. Our office, the Not Just Women's Center, is 122B in the Britton Student Center. That's the room number 122B. And just come on in. We're down a hall from the student gym. So we welcome any and all people.
Well, you have both inspired me so much today, just listening to you talk of all the work you're doing and the vision you have for the future. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank
guys.
You.
A quick reminder of some other great things happening for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. We just had Chalk the Walk this week on April 3rd, and that created some beautiful artwork outside on the sidewalks to help generate awareness.
Light the Night on April 13th is happening downtown Front Royal at 7 p.m. This is a candlelight vigil that the Laurel Center and the Phoenix Project are partnering on that will feature powerful stories from survivors.
On April 15th, we have Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. That's going to start at 11 a.m. This is an awareness walk encouraging men to gear up by wearing a pair of heels and walking a mile. I still have to go buy my shoes, but good news, it's not too late for either of us. This event is going to start in Winchester's historic walking mall on the Cork Street side.
And we'll have flip-flops available for those who would like a different alternative. And they'll be decorated. Lastly, National Denim Day is on April 26th. This is a day of awareness that we'll encourage you to learn about. Just Google Jeans Alibi for the brief history. Wear jeans on April 26th and spread awareness about the ongoing problem of sexual assault.
As always, the Laurel Center's hotline is accessible 24/7 at 540-667-6466. You can also find more information about domestic violence or sexual assault, our services, or events at thelaurelcenter.org.
I'm Heather Frost.
And I'm William Brick.
And thank you for listening. We'll be back with another episode in May, and we hope to see you at one of the many events supporting Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Take care.